Welcome to Bravo Happy Hour. I'm your host, Megan O'Donnell. Grab yourself a drink and join me while I break down the week in Bravo TV news.
Mercedes Javid and husband Tommy Fite from Shaw's of Sunset welcome their baby boy, Shams Francis Javid, this Wednesday, April 17th. Eva Marcel from the Real Housewives of Atlanta opens up on the Ricky Smiley show that her ex-boyfriend Kevin McCall abused her during and after her pregnancy to first daughter Marley. And Teresa Giudice's husband Joe Giudice's deportation appeal was rejected, and he's almost certainly going to be deported back to Italy. We'll end the show discussing our favorite moments that aired on Bravo this week. I will be tackling this mess and more with today's co-host, Jasper. He's Bravo Happy Hour's resident European correspondent, and you can hear him on the epic Real Housewives Award recap show we did like 35 months ago, it feels like. And then more recently, which this is crazy, on episode 14. We're on episode 42 to show how long it's been. So welcome back.
Cheerio, old chump.
I'm so glad you're on. This is always one of my favorites because you have like an encyclopedic knowledge of Housewives, and it's so important to me.
I know, but I don't know where I store it. Like, what is wrong with my brain?
I know, I can't remember like anything I've ever learned in middle school, yet I could tell you like everything about Tamra Judge's family life.
Exactly.
So let's talk a little bit about your trip to LA. You went to Tom Tom, I saw on the internet.
I did, and I was disappointed.
You're the only person who's ever said that.
I think it's nothing special. Like, I mean, the interior is really nice, like all her restaurants and stuff, but it's the same as Pump, as Sur, but in blue and green.
Yeah, it's true. Like, and like big clocks.
Yeah, exactly. It's missing flowers, but therefore they have all those clocks.
I think I prefer the flowers. That's like Lisa Vanderpump's signature thing, flowers.
Yeah, it's sexy. It's unique. And I was really, really disappointed in the drinks.
Well, okay, so which ones did you get?
I got something alchemy. Don't even remember the names. It was something with the alchemy in it, called something with alchemy. It had the, they were talking on it on the show ages ago, the aquafaba.
Oh, it, yeah. I was trying to try that one when I went, but they were sold out, which I'm like, what? How do you sell out of a drink?
I had that one and then something with like ginger. Ooh. And they were just not that good. Like, first of all, I waited in line for like 20 minutes to get in. I mean, it was a Friday evening, so I knew it's going to be busy. Mm-hmm. But like, the line was really, really long. It was past mother load.
I was going to say, was it past mother load?
Almost all the way down to Sur, Pump, which I mean, is not that far away because it's like two buildings next to each other. Almost. But yeah, I waited forever. Also, I had to wait for a friend. And then we got in, they were like, you want to sit? Or standing room okay? And we were like, no, we just want a drink. Standing room is fine. So we were at like a little private bar next to the main bar.
Ooh.
We're like, yeah, but it's just this little round thing where also they have the cash point, like where they do the bills and everything. So that was a bit annoying. The waiter was just typical Sir Pump waiter. He's kind of like an Adam.
Like dumb Adam. But hot.
Just really dumb. Dumb. So yeah, the drinks weren't that great, but like some girls ordered some shots and he had some left over, so he gave us two shots. And the shots were actually better than the actual drinks.
All right, well, that works. Did you see anybody famous? Well, I mean, quote-unquote famous.
Kim D walked in.
Who?
I really thought Kim D walked in.
Oh, my God.
Because it was this SUV, when I was still waiting outside, this SUV pulled up and, like, four or five people got out and, like, this older woman dressed all in black and, like, pulled back face and, like, the blonde hair like Kim D and this birdie-ish face. So I was like, this She really does look like Kim Lee because she had a whole entourage and they immediately could walk in and everything. But yeah, I stalked her on Instagram. I was like, no, it's not her. It's just somebody who looks like her,
Can
who
you
probably just
imagine
has
if
more money than her.
I think it's kind of easy to have more money than Kim D.
Right.
Well, this actually leads us perfectly into our first story of the night, which is Stassi and Billie Lee from Vanderpump Rules have been fighting recently. So I guess Stassi has been doing a ton of press for her book, Next Level Basic, and she was on the Jenny McCarthy show saying that Billie Lee sucks and how she's not kind and unfriendly and she's trying to start all these fights. And obviously, Billie Lee is not having it. Do you have any interest in reading Stassi's book, by the way, before we tap into this?
I bought it as soon as it came out.
I know, I have one coming like in the mail. My friend's girlfriend is like helped do like the publishing deal for it, and they said the book is selling so well. It's actually selling more than Erica Jane's, which like shocker. Erica Jane is like I would want to read nothing about Erica Jane.
Well, I bought that one as well back then.
You're a
But it
sucker.
doesn't surprise me because I think the demographics that she is going for, or the people that like her, is like from 10-year-old girls to like 48-year-old or even older women. Yeah, I'm almost done actually. I have like 70 pages left.
Oh my God, you're not joking around. I haven't started it yet. I got a hard copy.
I need to get done and over with it. It's, I mean, I love Stassi, but the book is awful.
So Billie is now accusing her of being the most white, cis-privileged, mean girl that she has ever met. She posted a picture of a page six article saying, Stassi Schroeder bashes Billie Lee, saying, you don't even go here. And Billie Lee obviously like takes a screenshot and says, so Stassi said about her, the thing she tries to fight about is ridiculous, which I think Billie Lee is like, I'm standing up for the fact that like I'm a woman and you guys don't respect this. And then she ends up saying in the post, so gender sensitivity is ridiculous. Wow, I'm really dealing with a mean girl who jokes about how fun it is to be a mean girl. I'm sorry, I actually work at Stir. Do you, Stassi?
Such bullshit. I mean, first of all, I do like the callback to Mean Girls.
Oh, yeah, me
Don't
too.
even go here. But Billie Lee is annoying as fuck. Like,
Yeah.
I honestly believe, I mean, we've seen all the fights on this show between her and Lala and the other ones, and it's not about her being trans, it's just about her being annoying that nobody likes her.
I agree. I feel like she's like not understanding. It's like you fought your whole life to like be a girl, and now you're going to have to deal with like mean girls. It's like that does come with the territory. And also like
When
they
she said, where did she write something like, I work at Sir, you don't?
Yeah. Like she doesn't have to work at Sir anymore.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing.
Exactly. Like, she doesn't have to work at Sir, but she's still on the show about Sir. So suck it up, Billy. And then the whole thing with her getting fucked by a ghost. I mean, come on.
Okay, yeah. So this is disturbing. So when I was just like going through like what I wanted to talk about in today's episode, I came across this headline. Billie Lee went on a podcast called Ghosted with host Roz Dresfeles. Who the fuck knows how to say that name? But she was saying she recalled waking up to a ghost fucking her. She said, quote, it was so real. And even when I woke up, it was continuing. So it was like this in and out of sleep, but it was like this energy. And I knew it was a ghost. I couldn't see him, but the energy, the vibration of a ghost was fucking me.
This is such bullshit. I mean, what probably she fell asleep on a vibrator.
She said, keep in
Yeah.
mind, Billie admitted that she was smoking a lot of weed during the incident when the haunted hookup went down.
Seriously, I mean, you do smoke weed, but have you been fucked by a ghost so far?
Not yet, but I'm trying. It's like, how much weed do I have to smoke to get fucked by a ghost?
Oh God, no, that woman is just a mess. Like,
God. And I just kind of feel bad at this point. It's like they don't want you on the show and they are never going to let you in. Like at this point, like
exactly.
they're not going to let you in unless you pull a Lala and you somehow find a guy with a PJ. Like that's the only way.
So true. And like, I think in the beginning, she really thought because being transgender, like, it would give her an in and everything, like a storyline for a bit. But yeah, nobody really cares if you're a man, a woman, a transgender, or whatever. It's a bunch of friends. Don't want other people to come in and ruin their paycheck either. So she should just keep doing her, what is it, brunch with Billy, and like
Yeah. Serve.
trying to be a role model for the community or whatever, but just get off TV, honestly. Like, she annoys me. But also, I'm Team Stassi anyway. She's the only one on that show who has a brain and actually is doing something beside being on that show.
I know. I'm also Team Stassi, which is why, hey, I'm buying her book and I want to put money in her pocket. Well, I'm staying in California. MJ Javid and her husband Tommy Fite from the Shaws of Sunset welcomed their precious little son named Shams Francis Fite this past Wednesday, April 17th, via C-section, and he was 6 pounds, 9 ounces. So we've been talking about this pregnancy for literally 7 months, and I'm so glad this baby's here because I feel like MJ was truly going to pop. Like the pictures looked like she was going to explode.
And she was never a skinny one to begin with.
Oh
I
no.
mean, congratulations to them, but I actually stopped watching Shaz mid last season. But I am happy for her. I think it was what she always wanted. I really, she always wanted a kid and everything, and that she carried it herself. Good on her. And I do think they're gonna be good parents.
I do too. I love Tommy. He ended up making this like amazing Instagram video. I'll post some of the audio right here.
Little play-by-play, Shams Francis Fite, my son. He's here, 6 pounds, 10 ounces. He's gorgeous. Shams is the most legendary guy I know. It's an honor to name my son after him. The night my son was born was the worst night of my life. My wife had a ton of complications. She was in surgery for like 5 hours. They didn't tell me nothing, but they're amazing at Cedars. They saved a life. She's still in ICU. She still hasn't held her baby yet. That should probably happen later today, though. He, on the other hand, is looking great. He couldn't be happier. Working in the nursery is like working backstage at an R. Kelly concert. He's pissed on every nurse that works there. They have him in a tanning bed now with glasses on. No joke. A day old, he's already in a tanning bed. Couldn't be more like his mother if he tried. She went spray tanning before we went to the hospital. She looks like the Aztec god of sun from the ankles up. Ankles down, it looks like she jogged back here from the jungle. But everything's great.
He was basically just like making jokes. I love the one where he was like, "My son is like R. Kelly, pissing all over the nurses." Just like shit like that. And like he's just incredibly crass, and I think it's really funny. He keeps calling MJ, he's like, "This pregnant broad." Like, I don't know, there's something like very endearing about him, and I do think they're gonna be great parents. And you know what? She said she's like waited her whole life to find this man, and he also, which I think is really cool and progressive, he allowed the baby to keep the last name Javid instead of his last name, so that Shams Javid is the exact name of MJ's father, who obviously died this past year. So I just think that was really awesome of him, and he seems just like a really great man and gonna be a great father.
Well, and to be fair though, like, I mean, Mercedes is more famous than him. I mean, he became famous a little bit because of her. But
Yeah.
one day, if, God forbid, they have a breakup or whatever, it's going to be easier for the kid with her last name to, like,
Yeah.
run some cash from some random VH1 show, probably.
Yeah, right. I know. Yeah, he's gonna be on a TLC show in 22 years. Like, just you wait.
Exactly.
He also posted a caption with like Daenerys of the House Javid, the first of her name, the clear cladded, the blah blah blah, all of these like funny, stupid Game of Thrones thing. And then he says, "Khaleesi of Cedar Sinai, protector of the realm, lady regent of the 7 shopping centers." Blah 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 blah, all of this funny shit. Queen of the spray tan. So, I just queen of the spray tans. He also made a comment that the baby had already had a spray tan. I love them, and I'm super happy for them. But actually, I don't know why I'm like juxtaposing this really happy story with like the saddest thing that's happened on Bravo, probably since Russell's death from Beverly Hills. Joe Giudice, obviously the husband of Teresa Giudice. has been in prison for the past 41 months, and after his prison sentence, he was put into, like, ICE custody because of his potential deportation, since he is not an American citizen. So on April 6th, the Board of Immigration Appeals ruled against him in his deportation case, and he probably is moving back to Italy.
What I have to say? Arrivederci.
I'm really surprised. I mean, I'm surprised that they weren't able to pull some strings. However, I'm also like, dude, this is what happens when you break the law. Like, you don't just, like, get away with it. And so, obviously, the family is really bugging out, and this is super sad. Gia posted this, like, big Instagram with a picture of him saying, like, how can we live and support a nation that allows sex offenders and pedophiles to stay in the U.S. as long as we register them to a list knowing they can live next door and harm again? If they could take a man who committed a, quote, minor crime to support his family, make him leave the country, do something. Oh, actually, this is really interesting. I didn't get to this part when I was reading it. Hashtag Trump, hashtag Trump meme, hashtag Donald Trump. Do something, intervene. I voted for you because I support what you and what you stand for and your strong beliefs to take a positive stance and make a change in this country. Like, if you're asking Donald Trump to help with an immigration, like, issue, wouldn't Trump be like, get him the fuck out of here? He's a criminal and an immigrant? Like,
well, especially, like, I mean, the best parts of the Giudice family are the kids, right?
Totally.
Like, I mean, the adopted one, what's her name?
Gabriella, the adopted
one. She is the best of all of them because she just shuts up and doesn't say anything. But, like, the kids are the best thing. But, and obviously it's really sad for them, but Gia needs to go home and erase that Instagram post.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously. Like, saying we live and support a nation that allows sex offenders and pedophiles to stay in the United States. Excuse me, where they're supposed to go? When they're Americans, they're gonna stay in America. You can't deport them, you dumb fuck. I mean, seriously. And unfortunately, her father isn't an American citizen, so he has to go home. And it's not like he did something minor. It's not like he went on the streets and, like, stole some bread to support his family or, like, sold a few drugs. No, he actually took quite a lot of money from people.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how she's getting backlash on Instagram, like, especially about the part that she said she voted for Trump and everything. So I went through that post and went through the comments, and actually I was ready to, like,
jump on board.
Well, I did. To see a lot of support for her, because you know how all those weirdest people on the internet are, just like ourselves.
Yeah, right.
But, actually, there was a lot of backlash and people being like, well, are you surprised? And clearly supporting an idiot like that doesn't help you and help you keep that in mind for 2020 and everything. So I was like, oh, good. Actually, this time, like, the right people went on it and, like, shamed her to death.
Poor girl. I feel really sad for the girls. And I posted something on my Instagram the day it happened, and it's been really wild seeing people's comments, and, like, people are going so hard on each other, and, like, obviously I have to, like, delete some because I'm like, I don't stand for some of this shit. Like, this is my page at the end of the day. So I hope for the best. You know, Teresa posted a picture of the girls on, like, decorating Easter eggs, saying, Joe with the girls, Gia wasn't in this photo, says, days like this, I love having photos. So I can imagine this Easter weekend is probably going to be pretty difficult for them. However, they're probably going to try to appeal at a federal level to kind of drag it out and see how much longer they can keep them here. But, I mean, they'll probably get denied at this point, because if they were going to, like, approve it, wouldn't they just have approved it the first go around? And, like, nothing's probably going to change.
Exactly. And I think Teresa is actually happy about it.
I mean, you know, she said on the reunion that she was, like, going to divorce him if he gets deported. And honestly, he did her dirty. Like, it doesn't matter that they're loyal to one another or that they're married. Like, at the end of the day, like, he did her dirty. Like, not just with this financial stuff. He sent her to jail. He was clearly cheating on her on the show, calling her the C word. Like, doing really messed up things. And, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, you could be loyal, you could be Italian, and family is the most important thing, but, like, you should also prioritize your own, like, well-being and safety. And, you know, this guy's crazy. Even we saw him before he went to jail. Like, he was drinking so much, and he was, like, incredibly aggressive in the house. Like, you don't want that around, like, regardless of how much you love someone, you know?
And now she can reinvent herself.
This is going to be a new book.
The country, and there's going to be another shitty book. This going to secure her another 5 seasons on The Real Housewives of New Jersey, although I think she needs to leave.
I mean, well, it's like the same thing. I mean, this kind of leads into Atlanta, where we're going right now. But it's like when you take one of, like, the matriarchs of a show, like a Teresa or a Nene off the show, like, you know, it allows for the show to grow a little bit and change directions. However, it is like, what do you do when you start losing the big dogs, Vicky Gumbelson? Like, what do you do when they're gone? Hey, I think it's great. I think a lot of these OGs should get the hell off, because they're just getting too, like, media trained and self-producing, and it's no longer fun or organic, you know?
The only franchise where it really, really works with the OGs is New York.
It's the best show on television. I've been rewatching since season one. This past couple weeks, and I'm like, this needs to be my full-time job, like, just rewatching old Housewives.
Sign me up.
Well, moving into Atlanta, Eva Marcel opened up on the Ricky Smiley show that she was in an abusive relationship with her ex-boyfriend while she was pregnant. So if you guys don't know, Eva is new to the franchise. She's just was a friend of on season 10 and a full-time cast member on current season 11. She was the winner of America's Next Top Model, so she's, like, quote-unquote famous. So she was saying that he started abusing her. He only started abusing her when she was pregnant with her first daughter, Marley. And then she said after about a month of having Marley, it didn't stop. It got worse, and it got worse with her. And then she said one day it just came to a head where she was holding the baby and he abused her. And she was like, I'm done. I can't really do this anymore. She didn't go into any specifics about the type of abuse she suffered. But this man was currently arrested on Monday in L.A. for domestic violence. So you can imagine that he has, like, a history of this.
Ugh. Yeah, but why did it take so long for her to come out with that story?
I know, it's
sad. I mean, I do believe her and everything, but I'm not interested, because I'm not really interested in her. Yeah. But why come out now? Because a woman got arrested? Because you had to reveal on the show that you had to move houses all the time? Because that's going to come up in part 3 of the reunion? Why didn't you, like, bring it up ages ago?
Yeah, it seems like this guy has, like, a really bad track record of this, so you think maybe she would have said something prior, but you really never know. Maybe she didn't want to, like, drag her kid through it. She's like, I'm already out of there. I've moved on with this new guy, Michael Sterling, who they just had a new baby together, so maybe she was like, let sleeping dogs lie. But she ended up saying, I feel sorry for that girl. I feel bad for the women who have to deal with it. It's actually not a laughing matter. It's something that makes you feel so little that you don't want to talk about it, but it really sucks. I hope they keep his ass in jail as long as they can, period. I wonder what will actually end up happening to this creep, but... Ugh.
Well, it probably secured her another season.
Right.
Housewife, another friend off.
See, I, you know, was very all over the place with how I felt about Atlanta this season, but she gave me one of my favorite moments of the season, where it was like her and Marlo in that van in Japan.
Just
fighting for an hour long, like having them have like the Chiron with the timestamp of how long they've been fighting was just one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And you just see the tour guide sitting there being like, why did I agree to do this? Like, this
exactly. is... Especially Portia saying, ooh, she's never going to take us on another trip.
Oh my God, it was just so funny. I really love, like, they have moments, and I think Portia is definitely, like, the MVP of this season. Obviously, the season was basically all about her. But even, that's like, her talking heads, just everything she did was so funny and just charming. Like, she makes the show fun. Like, she brings drama, but she also brings a levity, where I feel like some of these other housewives, it's like, you don't even bring fun. Like, you know, like, Ramona on, like, New York, like, she's a total asshole, but she brings so much fun to the show that it's like, wow.
Exactly.
You're perfect.
And Porsche spin-off is going to start on April 29th.
I think I'm gonna watch it. I think that's one I'll actually enjoy because I usually don't like the ridiculous spin-offs that come with a wedding or a baby or whatever.
Yeah, of course I'm gonna watch it as well, but I'm gonna be sad one day when she's gonna be single again and because her husband has no money to start with.
Oh my God, that's brutal. Well, we were discussing on a more recent episode that she was in like a ton of tax debt, where it's like, girl, your husband bought you a $650,000 wedding ring, but you're like 200 grand in tax debt. Like, I feel like the two of you should come together and be like, you know what? Let's get a lesser ring and get out of like the doghouse with the IRS. But like, I don't think Atlanta, like that show, they don't see the money like that, I don't
Maybe
think.
went to the same school as Rachel from Vanderpump and it's just really bad at math.
Oh my God. Oh wait, Raquel. I thought you meant Rachel O'Brien. I
Oh.
was like, ugh.
Well,
It's like she is
Rachel
just
O'Brien is not the smartest cookie either, yeah, but I mean Raquel.
Oh my God. Well, that leads us to our favorite moment that aired on Bravo this week. Jasper, what was your favorite?
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. When Camille left the dinner party where she made a total fucking asshole of herself, but mistaking Kim Richards as a fan congratulating her on her coming up nuptials.
It is just so good. I can't believe when Kyle was like, oh my God, Kim is here. Kim is here. And then we see Kim and she's on like a date, which is funny. And then we see Kathy and I'm like, this is the show I want. Like, get Teddy out of here. Like, get Camille's ignorant ass out of here. Like, I just want to see the Richards sisters, you know, just living. Like, I just want to see them interact with one another.
Oh, I don't know. I think Kim is not in her right mind, though. I think there's still something quite off.
Well,
She's
yeah,
healthy.
I feel like she'll never really like get back to being like,
Sober.
yeah, that. I mean, yeah, she's Hollywood sober, and she actually just became a grandma again this weekend. I think one of her daughters had like another kid. So, like, just be a grandma, get off TV, like, stop going on
Yeah.
dates and focus on your grandkids.
But I mean, it was just hysterical how Camille walked past him. I was like, thank you. And then she realized it was Kim. I thought that was gold. That was pure gold.
This week was crazy. This actually ties into my favorite moment of the week, which obviously has to do with like the fight that happened in Beverly Hills, just about the Brett Kavanaugh thing. I thought it was really interesting showing this type of debate on screen. One, it was a season high for Beverly Hills Housewives, so that's really huge. It shows that like people are invested in this story and this thing that actually really affected so many people in the US and just all around the world. But then Lisa Rinna actually getting out of the conversation with Camille and then opening up about how her mother was like almost the victim of the Trailside Killer, who was like the serial killer in the 60s and 80s in California. Like, what? Like,
So crazy.
that was just crazy. So she opened up on the show saying that. So I think she basically said that he picked her up at some truck stop and he took her down a deserted road. Luckily, this guard saw them driving down this deserted road and followed them, but the guy had a hammer in one hand and a knife in the other, and he was trying to rape her and attack her. And just thank God that this military police officer came and saved her life. So it shows you why Lisa Rinna was, you know, additionally upset with what Camille was saying. She was like, how can you like pretend that this woman like would ever lie about something like this? Also, yeah, she is an esteemed doctor. She doesn't want this. She doesn't want death threats to her life and her children. Like, if she didn't feel like she had to say this, she wouldn't have said it, you know? And it was hard to watch Camille be like, yes, and people lied about me. It's like you were on the cover of In Touch magazine as the most hated housewife. You didn't get like potentially put on the Supreme Court, like, and rape people.
I think that was the problem with Camille. Like, she doesn't get it how, like, two things are not the same. You can't compare yourself to something like that. Like, that man is just awful and everything. And, like, you can't compare that situation, like, what he did to you being upset about being the most hated housewife or whatever. Like, get a grip. Seriously.
And then, like, her leaving the table and crying. She's like, I don't understand why no one agrees with me. It's like, shouldn't you take note? Like, if everybody at a table of, like, eight women are disagreeing with you, like, don't you have to, like, take a step back and be like, I wonder why I'm the only one who's not believing this. Like, is it a me problem?
I kind of do think that's why she was actually crying, because she realized that she was actually wrong and that she's going to get, like, blasted on the internet and everything. She actually realized, shit, I'm going back to being... stated housewife in history, right. And being Camille season one again. I mean, they showed all those clips.
Is
it this season, this episode, or the one before where they showed all the old clips of Camille being like, I have a Jesus complex and everything?
When she's wearing like a bikini.
Exactly. So they're already building it up to her being hated again. And rightfully so. It was her mistake.
I am there for it. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people find you and follow all your, like, hot ass modeling pics? Let's be real.
Well, I don't really do that much on Instagram, but you can follow me on Instagram, Jesper_HA, or my Twitter account, DJesper_HA, but I mainly just mean tweet at Bravo Leprities and hope to get blocked by them.
Well, that's what we want to see. Well, thank you again for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
See ya.
Thanks so much for listening to Bravo Happy Hour. If you love the show, be sure to rate and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. If you have any hot takes, gossip, or info about Bravo TV, feel free to shoot me an email at bravohappyhourpod@gmail.com. While you're at it, make sure to follow Bravo Happy Hour on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Thanks so much for listening, and check back every Monday and Thursday for a new episode all about your favorite Bravo celebrities.